The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. We're all in black today, Hello. Which I think is very nice and gothy emo of us, matching our set.
I feel like we didn't even talk about this. We just kind of showed up ready for it.
I feel like it's kind of all with it's within us.
It's the easiest, frankly.
It's how we exist.
Yeah.
And it's just like part of our souls, I feel like, the very bottom.
That's right. Right in the bottom of the barrel.
Bottom of the barrel. How are you guys feeling today?
I'm feeling good.
So good. Just had an amazing sandwich.
Best sandwich. That's my favorite part of recording in person. We always go to the best sandwich shop in LA, Larchmont Wine and Cheese.
Yes. Honestly, the best sandwich I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, it's up there.
Big other than Jersey Mike's.
Big shout out. You guys are doing amazing things over there.
Thank you so much.
Not an ad.
For feeding us. I wish.
I wish too.
Today is a really, really good day. We have lots of great stuff on the docket for today.
I'm so excited.
Do we have any house cleaning that we need to do today?
No, other than we have something really exciting coming up in the first week of May, but we're not really prepared to talk about it yet. But yeah. Something really amazing that we're going to be doing that will shock all of you and excite all of you.
And it's going to actually end up being some bonus content for you.
A lot of bonus content and a lot of there's an objective. It's a really incredible cause that you'll already know once you know what it is, how passionate we are about it based on our histories. And I'll stop with the speaking in code and just wait till we officially
announce
it.
I do like the mystery, though.
But I think what I really like about it is we want everybody to get involved.
It's not just
listen to the podcast and then go about your day. Like, this is something we've built, this amazing community with the First Degree, with our firsties. And like, it's time for us to get loud about something that we really care about.
Yeah.
And we want everybody else to. And I think you're going to want to. We don't have to like convince you.
Yeah. You all be excited to help, I think, because yeah. I mean, this means a lot to us. It's a full fundraising event. We're not profiting off of it in any way, but we still are feeling super excited about it.
Exactly.
Woo.
Coming soon.
Woo.
Also, join our Patreon, because if you're on our Patreon, you're watching this video in real time with our beautiful, beautiful faces, Jared's beautiful
mostly
hair.
Mostly Jared's.
His
luscious long locks.
Everybody's here for YouTube. We all know that.
That's not true. And we have, weekly bonus content on our Patreon too.
Yeah. And our Patreon, I mean, it keeps growing, which means people are loving it. We've got about 50 episodes on there for you to binge.
There's a lot.
If you're looking for more, now would be the time. And we're doing something special in our next two First Degree episodes. We're releasing a two-parter, and you'll get both parts at the same time. If you're on Patreon, you'll have to wait till the following week if you're a regular incredible firstie subscribing to the Apple feed. So something to consider.
Always new stuff happening.
Yeah.
Got to keep it fresh.
That's right.
I actually wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about like a little bit of true crime news that we have got going on. I don't have this in my script, but there are two things that happened recently, last week and the week before, that we haven't got to talk about yet.
I would love to talk about it.
One of them is Gwyneth Paltrow's trial.
Yeah.
Ooh. I mean, that's not true crime, but it was Gwyneth Paltrow was on trial for running into this guy while skiing, and they finally reached a verdict. Do you want to like give your thoughts and maybe like a little bit of a summary of what happened?
Oh yeah. I mean, I was following.
Yeah.
So initially when this civil trial was presented in the media, it sort of seemed like Gwyneth Paltrow was at fault. You know, this guy, he has brain damage now from being hit by Gwyneth Paltrow while she's skiing. And it turns out, based on all the testimony, that he hit her from behind, hurt her. And, she was very memeified because she said things like, well, I lost a half a day of skiing. And
I loved it.
I loved it too. And you know what? If you don't get that much vacation time because you're famous, half a day is a lot.
Well, she said it to be smug because she knew that she wasn't like at fault and she knew the whole thing was ridiculous, which is why she sued him back for a dollar.
Yeah.
But like the whole thing was just like so ridiculous. There were so many different memes coming out of the whole thing. But like, turns out that guy was just after a quick fucking buck after he realized it was Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right. Because first he sued for $3 million, then he brought it down to 300,000. Right. And then Gwyneth's attorneys, who are very effective, pulled up all these Facebook posts where he's doing all these active things and like he's saying that he's permanently maimed and his brain damage means that people don't love him anymore. Like it's ruined relationships and it's like he's with all these girlfriends and his family. It's like it was bullshit.
Your internet history doesn't lie.
That's right. And when she won, she went over and whispered, "I wish you well" in his ear.
Oh, wait, didn't she like countersue for a buck?
Yeah.
Just to prove a point.
Well, and her lawyer, because she did that, it was one of the most viral clips ever. Her lawyer was like, "Are you friends with Taylor Swift?"
Oh, oh no,
are
that
you?
Was the opposing lawyer.
Yeah, yeah. No, sorry. His lawyer. She was like, you're good friends with Taylor Swift, right? And she's like, "No, I've been to like a concert. Like we know who each other are. Like I took my kids to
because
a concert."
Because we're both famous. How could we not know who each other are?
And so
insinuating what?
Insinuating that because Taylor Swift sued Scooter Braun for a dollar.
And like maybe you're copying her thing and it's like, but Taylor Swift I think also won.
Also, yeah. So what? So, yeah, that's so
like
bizarre.
Oh, you're not doing it for the money like Taylor Swift. I think that's commendable, but whatever.
Yeah, the whole thing is so ridiculous. I'm glad she won. I mean, she says she does and says some questionable things that I do not agree with, but that was one thing that I was like, you know what? Fuck that guy.
Well, you're setting up. She had to fight it because you're setting a precedent then where people can keep doing that to you if you go into public. Like, oh, yeah. I slipped and fell in front of Gwyneth Paltrow. She pushed me. Like, when does it end then if you let this guy get away with
it? That was my question, was like, why is she even dealing with this? But I think you're totally right. And it's like, yeah, if you don't kind of cut it off immediately, you're going to be open for so many other people to come forward.
Yeah, because he's going to be like, I ran into her. I just got $3 million.
He also apologized and he didn't start to be hurt until he found out who he had hit. Yeah, he apologized to her. Like, Ski Patrol came over. That was his opportunity to say, like, she hit me. He just said, sorry, I didn't mean to hit you. Like, he tried to create this narrative thinking that she would just throw money at it because she's got it. And she's like, I'm good.
I love when we have those trials that are televised and I can just, like, keep up with it on TikTok.
Oh, yeah, like Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
I know. I wonder what the next one's going to be. Something crazy.
Lori Vallow is going right now, but I'm not sure.
Is hers televised?
I haven't been paying attention, to be honest.
I haven't seen anything about it. Okay, well, I just wanted to do that little tidbit. I have another true crime news that I feel like we can talk about next week because there's been some stuff going on.
I love that.
Okay, so today is April 13th.
Can't believe this.
It's crazy. Oh my gosh. We're in April. It's finally getting warmer.
Shocking.
I know. On April 13th, 1970, Apollo 13 announces, "Houston, we have a problem."
Uh-oh.
But what I learned is that's not what he said. Did you know this?
Yeah. The actual call was, I forget. I know that's not the words that were spoken.
It was, "Okay, Houston, we've had a problem here." So that was like one of those. There's so many things like that. And I was about to do an episode based on that of these
misquotes,
these phrases that we like have in the zeitgeist that are completely incorrect.
Luca, I am your father.
What?
Luca, I am your father.
Yeah.
What is the real one?
No, I am your father.
Maybe we'll do this for another episode that like the day is bleak because I do actually like this.
Me too.
But yeah, that was completely wrong.
It's kind of like Mandela effect-y.
Exactly, it is. Mm-hmm. But the reason why that became popular is in the Apollo 13 movie, they did change it to "Houston, we have a problem."
Oh.
And they said they changed it because they're like, it doesn't roll off the tongue by saying, "Okay, Houston, we've had a problem."
Well, they
here.
Do say like based on true events, like a verbatim truth.
Yeah, based.
Exactly. So I thought that was a bit of an interesting tidbit.
Fascinating. I love pop culture nuggets of info.
I love Apollo 13. What a movie.
We're getting into pop culture for this episode.
Can't wait.
Because also on April 13th, 1997, 21-year-old Tiger Woods wins the prestigious Masters tournament by a record 12 strokes in Augusta, Georgia. So this is his first big championship that he won. And he was the youngest golfer by 2 years to win the Masters and the first person of Asian or African heritage to win a major. So
probably the first person who's both also.
Yeah. I mean, and so impressive. Like that is so,
oh, man.
I remember like it was like a Michael Jordan sort of like craze. The whole run that he had was so insane.
Well, and the run he's still having, I was just listening to the Daily podcast, New York Times Daily podcast, and they were talking about he's about to participate at 47 years old in another tournament.
Yeah.
I feel like with golf, you can just kind of do that until you're like old and decrepit.
It's a precision sport. It's not like, you know, you're not playing rugby or contact football.
My favorite golfer is John Daly.
And John Daly is my favorite golfer because I had the same haircut as him when I was a little girl.
You had that just like wild like mullet.
A mullet my mom did.
Amazing.
For me.
I mean, I liked Arnold Palmer just because of the drink.
Have you seen the SportsCenter commercial where he like... they're all like in line at the catering and he walks in front of them and he goes like a little bit of lemonade and a little bit of iced tea. And they're like, no way.
Nobody thought about that. I feel like he's not that old. People have to have been drinking that before him.
I mean, somebody has to be the face of it.
He coined it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I wish I had a drink named after me.
Not too late.
Yeah.
So this
that redheaded slut shot,
Bloody Jerry.
I like redheaded slut.
Well, it used to be that's like Jägermeister. What else went in it?
That's
Red
not
Bull.
What I would pick for my drink, but
yeah, that's what they're called.
But
though.
That's what they pick for you.
Yeah, you don't get to pick your own nickname. You don't get to pick your own drink.
That's right.
And if you do,
you better pick well.
You're weird.
Yeah, you're a loser because you don't have any friends. Okay, so this was great for Tiger Woods, but I was thinking about Tiger Woods and I was like, the funniest thing in the world is when he had his cheating scandal.
100%.
And it rocked everybody in America. Like the chokehold that Tiger Woods' cheating scandal had on me as a 16-year-old girl was insane.
Well, I don't remember. You were living on Carlson. And I was doing bottle service at the time.
Oh, maybe I was like 20.
Yes, but I was working at a nightclub. Like, that's what I did in college to make money till I figured it out with Jamie Scruggs, who was his mistress.
Oh.
So I met her a bunch, and she was working doing bottle service at Playhouse, the nightclub on Hollywood Boulevard. Wow. So I saw her. I was like, you're a Tiger. Okay. And this was after it all, but I was like around
Holy
her a
shit.
Lot for
wow.
a minute. I know.
Holy shit.
Well,
I
know. It was so shocking because he had this, like persona that was so
buttoned up
and squeaky clean. And he's always just like, so he came off very, very overly proper. It was like a
wholesome
golf etiquette kind of guy. And it was just, I think that sort of duality is why everybody was just like, what?
Dude? And then Elon, like his wife chasing women. His car and bashing it in with a golf club, I think is like the most poetic thing.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing was just so crazy. I have who did you say you worked with?
I thought her name was Jamie Scruggs.
It's Jamie Grubbs.
Grubbs. So close. It was like 10 years ago, though. Give me a break. I was close. Jamie Grubbs.
So basically what happened is it said in November of 2009, some tabloid came out that he was having an affair with this girl named, a nightclub manager named Rachel Urchitel.
Who and has then, her own podcast now.
Oh, she does?
Where she covers pop culture stuff.
Amazing.
Oh, that's cool. I love that. And then a few days later, he ended up crashing his car. And then that kind of like kickstarted like everything that happened.
He was obviously dealing with a lot of stuff.
He was dealing with a lot of stuff. I think his wife was confronting him and he was like fleeing or whatever. So then she his wife goes through his phone and she finds all this shit, obviously, as you do. And then one of these tabloids released this voicemail that Tiger sent to Jamie Grubbs.
Grubbs.
It was basically saying like, hey, can you change your name? Can you change my name in your phone? Like, so it doesn't look like Tiger's calling when I do. Like, he was basically trying to like cover up his tracks.
$700 million on the line for old Tiger.
Well,
at the
time, he had like the Tag Heuer endorsement deal. Yeah. He lost all his endorsement deals.
I know, it was crazy. And then, so his wife wants to divorce him, right? So then in their prenup, it said in the event of a divorce, Elon would receive $20 million after 10 years of marriage. So Tiger was like, let's stay together. Because he like probably doesn't want to give her $10 million, tries to work it out. And then he said he would give her an immediate payment of $5 million to stay in the marriage, as well as adding $55 million to the original prenup agreement.
So he's really trying to make it work.
He's trying to make it work.
That's a lot less money than I thought.
Really?
That's why I said $700. I mean, Tiger.
But they did break up. So I'd be curious to know what she got.
She ended up getting $100 million.
Yeah.
Still less than I thought she would have gotten.
Plenty.
I'll take it.
Oh, dude.
I'll take it.
I'm good with
she
that.
Probably also gets alimony and child support. Like,
that was probably just like a lump
property.
Sum.
Like, she probably got the house, three other houses. Like, she made out.
She's chilling.
A-okay.
She is fucking chilling.
What a mess.
So, yeah, that scandal really rocked our country.
I'm still shook by it.
And
I was shook when I saw Jamie Grubbs in real life so much that I was like, thought her name was Scruggs, but I was
close
like,
enough.
But no, I was sort of fascinated
it is
by her experience, and I didn't make it obvious because I'm kind of discreet like that, but I was like, I'm sure I told someone when I got home.
Yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't the first time that somebody
anything happened cool?
Well, I bet you $1 million, that's why she was hired.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like the kind of novelty. Yeah, like,
it's
definitely
novelty for sure.
And you're less condemned by it here in LA. Like, you're not shunned by that shit in LA in the same way.
No, not at all.
Just look at Raquel from Vanderpump. She's chilling.
Well, speaking of, I got really inspired to look up some of the most infamous celeb cheating scandals that we're going to get into for True Crime Rewind. There's some good shit in there. But before then, we've got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
All right, welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We're either loving it, we're hating it. We have a healthy discussion, and then we vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Bring it to you, our listeners, to vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Sometimes we have a listener.
Oh, we do.
On the stand today. We're going to listen to that. And if you're
looking to call in and let us know what your On the Stand is, or your worst thing you've ever done, the phone number for that is
818-446-6889.
Thank
there you. He's almost
can't
got
believe
it.
You guys know it.
Again, that's
818-446-6889.
We're all going to remember now.
I think it is.
Jack
I hope
has
I didn't
a good memory.
Wrong.
I do not.
I do not.
I used to.
Yeah, well. Maybe that's just all of us then.
No.
I think as we get older.
Do you remember how fucking tight I used to be?
Yeah.
And suddenly I'm like,
tighten it up.
I'm now, like, what did we talk about yesterday? Did you say yes to this? Like, I have to follow up about every question I ask her in person.
I won't lie. Your memory's not great.
You know, but I write everything down.
And you're very busy. So sometimes things are.
And I have moderate to severe ADD.
There
Yes, that is also true.
You're forgiven.
Thank you.
Do we want to listen to the listener on the stand first?
I think so.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. Oh, and we have an exciting update as far as this person who's going to be on the stand today.
Oh,
for those of you in our OG club, you'll all be familiar with the sexual cowboy who's called in a couple times.
Hell yes.
So he's back to give us his on the stand, which I'm very excited about.
I love him.
So turn up your volume because this is the voice of the heavens.
Hey, Alexis, Jack and Jared. This is your sexual cowboy listener calling back. And I have an on the stand. I just listened to your guys' on the stand or Jack's on the stand about standing up on the airplane. And while I don't think standing up on the airplane is guilty, what is guilty is if you stand up and try to push forward, cutting other people that are ahead of you off. So I was on a flight for work, and it was a smaller flight than one of the first few rows, and everybody in the back stood up and started pushing forward to where three rows around me could not get out. And we tried telling people, hey, stop, let us out. It's obviously not airplane etiquette to get off and exit. And finally, it took somebody that had a brief pause and pushed their way and let all of us out. But then everybody started complaining that we were cutting them off. So I think standing up, obviously not guilty. You got to get your bags, but cutting people off and pushing forward, that is definitely guilty. The only reason you should be doing that is if you have a connecting flight that is happening right away, or if you have an emergency in the bathroom that you have got to take care of. Thanks for listening.
He speaks the truth.
He does, and he speaks it in such a beautiful tone.
I just love that the sexual cowboy has really embraced the sexual cowboy within himself. Like, he knows who he is.
Yeah, and I know this isn't the advice column. But I have advice. Have you considered wearing a hat and spurs on the plane? Because I feel like people would just part like the seat to let you through. If you wore like some chaps,
chaps,
some boots, and if there was a jingle jangle while you walked, like cowboys in the movies,
well,
I think everyone would move for you.
Alexis and I were talking about this before the episode. We're like, what does a sexual cowboy look like? We don't know, but we have this idea of him in our heads. And I'm like, I'm so curious if we're right or not, or do I just not even want to know?
We don't want to know because the fantasy is so good, but I'm picturing the Marlboro man with no smoking.
Wow.
Leather chaps, big wide brim hat, jingle jangle of the spur.
A horse?
A horse.
A horse.
A top of horse. A horse.
And a wide open range.
I see a cigarette dream. In there.
Okay. Maybe one of those candy ones that used to get in the ice cream truck.
Or like a pretzel a pretzel stick in the cold.
Oh my God.
Pretzel stick, the OG fake cigarette.
Yeah, a 5-year-old cigarette. What do you think, Jared? I mean, I think
guilty. I think
it is my biggest pet peeve. I'm actually shocked that we haven't talked about this before because that is it. Like that is the one where it's like my biggest pet peeve in the world is when somebody thinks that their time is more important than somebody else's time.
If I'm going somewhere, doesn't matter where, if I'm driving, whatever it is, and I'm doing it correctly and I'm being polite and I'm following the rules, which I love to do.
Yeah.
And somebody else infringes on that and then makes my trip take longer. I hate it. It's the number one thing that drives me nuts. And so on a plane, when you're trying, all you want to do is get off the plane and somebody cuts in front of you and takes that time away from you.
No, it's like we're all trying to fucking get
honestly,
off.
Honestly, this in any form, I was trying to get off an exit on the 101 and there was a shoulder and it was like backed up. It was like the hot Sunset Boulevard exit, rush hour. Someone rode the shoulder.
Yeah.
I've seen that a lot. And went ahead of everyone and I lost my mind and I was powerless to act.
Yeah.
Unless I did it too. And
you'd
then
have to
I'd
become
be the
a
thing
vigilante. Yeah.
But I was like, I wanted blood. I was so angry at him. And I was like, I can't believe you did
that. I wanted blood.
When like there's all of us waiting, following the norms of the road. And it's like, no, you're going to just go cut everyone and ride a shoulder.
No, people think they're above the law. They think that their time is more important than yours. Like, I fucking hate it. It's like, we're all just trying to get to the same place.
You want to be mad, but then you're like, should I have done that?
That's the worst part.
I don't.
You see someone do something, you're like, oh, you can do that? You know?
And should I? Or should I be mad and hold my ground?
I'm too law-abiding.
But I think that there's something that's a little bit more anonymous by doing that if you're driving. If you are pushing your way through the walkway inside a little metal tube of an airplane, and you're literally like trying to shove your way, physically touch other people to get in front of them, like that is a special kind of asshole.
It is, because it's so much more personal. When you're in your cars, I don't know what you look like.
You can
zoom
past somebody and never see him again.
You're going to step in front of and infringe on a lot of other people's space with your face just exposed. Like, this is who I am. This is what I look like. Hello, everybody. Yeah. I'm here to make your exit
ballsy.
Slower.
Also,
crazy move.
Like, everyone's either got someone picking them up, rushing to get their bag because something valuable is in it, has somewhere to be, has a connecting flight. Yeah. Like, everyone's really anxious to get off that plane.
Yeah, we're all trying to go
somewhere.
You're
not the only one who's like, it's so important that I'm off soon. Yep. It's like, yeah, us too, bro. Yeah.
Again, unless you're trying to connect to a flight, like a flight that is taking off right now without you.
Or you're going
to
vomit on everyone. Yeah,
or you're going to shit your pants.
Or that, yeah, that same idea.
Sometimes
there's
an emergency that you have to take
pregnant
care of.
Pregnant women go first always.
Yeah.
Guilty. Okay, I'm gonna go first.
Love that.
Today I'm putting on the stand movie and TV show reboots.
Ooh, good one.
There is allegedly a Harry Potter reboot in the works for HBO, but the way that they're doing it, I love Harry Potter. I love Hogwarts. I love the whole universe so much. Super fan. But apparently what they're doing, it's like a literal reboot that they are redoing Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not like adding to the saga.
No, so
it's not like a Hogwarts universe. Every season is a different movie from the Harry Potter movie series.
Every season is one of the years. It was one of the books.
I wonder how that's going to go.
Well, they're like, if they do it that way, then they're like recasting Harry Potter.
That's
and
weird
Hermione
because the cast was perfect.
It also hasn't been enough time. I could see them doing it in like 50
Like the cast
years.
Is still young. Aren't they all in their 20s still?
Yeah, they're younger than us.
Not even that. Like we're talking, you're going to try to take a movie that had a budget that had John Williams scoring it, which he's the greatest of all time. You have a cast of literally the most important British actors in the last 60 years of cinema.
Literally.
Everybody is in this movie, And not only that, it connected and was a smash success. So why would you then take that?
And it was the first adaptation of the books, yeah. which were the yeah. most, you know, worldwide yes. acclaimed literature.
So that's what everybody attaches to. Yeah. And it's not, and the crazy thing is, for whatever reason, and who knows if this will actually happen, but now you're going to throw a TV budget at that same idea. It's like, how could that
it's an
possibly
HBO
be
budget,
better?
But still,
it's even so, even HBO
people will still like, watch it. It'll still do well.
It will.
Well, I was telling Jared, I was like, they just need to call it. They need to call it Hogwarts and like do an extension of the universe and leave it at that. Like, don't recast Harry Potter. He was perfect.
They tried to do that with Fantastic Beasts too, and it was ass.
But they just need to call it Hogwarts and follow a new cast. I don't know what Fantastic Beasts did. It sounds like it was more monster based or
it was just. Yeah,
whatever.
Fine.
However, that being said, they did do a reboot. Now, see, I don't even know if this is a reboot or
Party
just
Down?
A new season of Party Down. Did you
I told
watch
you about it?
It
in the group chat?
Did you watch it?
Oh yeah,
fantastic.
It is.
Love it.
So
that's
fucking
not a reboot.
Good. Well, whatever.
They brought it back like a decade of and it's just. But like, I had no idea how much I loved Adam Scott.
Oh,
I fell
God.
In love with him in Severed, but I didn't know
Severance.
He had like Severed.
Severance.
Whatever. Is same it the idea. Same? Severance?
Severance.
I mean, they become severed.
I've been calling it Severed for a long time. I'm glad you corrected me.
Severance.
Whatever. I fell in love with him there, and I was like, oh, glad he's finally having a break. And Matt was like, he's been famous for a long time.
Parks and Rec?
Parks and Rec. I
never
mean, he's in
Parks
Step Brothers.
Rec.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, yeah. He's been in, like, everything.
No, I love his little face.
Well, and he's just such a, fucking good actor. Because he can do, like, the Party Down, like, type of acting and improv, and it's so fucking good. And
he
then in
it.
Severance, he's like amazing. But I just think they did such a fucking good job. They didn't try to fix what wasn't broken. Like, it that went flawlessly from the season before it, and it was amazing.
Jane Lynch,
amazing.
Oh my God,
her character so
character
fucking good.
I'm in love
perfect.
With her. She
Me too.
Is unbelievable.
She's so, and especially in that character, she's so
she's
good.
So great. I
like
agree.
Such a wackadoodle.
Just a
so
veteran wacky. Comedian. Like a it. Great, great comic.
So
artist.
Are you prosecuting or defending?
Well, see, I don't know. Those are two examples that I have very completely different opinions.
You think there
on.
Should be rules of engagement?
It's just do it right. Well, I don't want to recast a cast that I love. Like, I don't like the recasting of the Harry Potter characters.
I think that instead of having movie reviews and like IMDb, like Rotten Tomatoes, it should be a checkbox. After you see a movie, you say, am I content with where we like what we just did? And then if it's checked yes, then we
so
and enough people
fail.
Do it. It's a pass fail. We do not need to redo this movie ever again.
I don't like a critic. You know, it's not for me because they just find shit to complain about.
This isn't a critic.
I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
You're a pass fail works.
Anyone
for me.
Can be a critic. You can have no taste and then you can criticize someone else's artistry.
Yeah. It's the South Park episode where all these people that have Yelp accounts are now food critics. It's like that's basically humanity now. But whatever. OK,
whatever.
So anyways,
reboot 100% guilty. But
I'm sure.
Actually, I'm going to go 90.
Recasting a classic movie in the reboot.
Guilty as fuck.
95% guilty. I like the new Dune, so I can't really, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
I didn't watch the old Dune, so no argument there.
Who wants to go next, Lex?
I'll go next unless Jared wants to.
Go ahead.
Okay. So mine today, it's super important, but very simple.
Okay.
So I'm putting socks over 5 years old.
Oh, okay.
A sock term limit.
And I know that sounds really snobby, like, but if someone you love or who's no longer with us made you a pair of socks, if you have a really heavy pair of winter socks, whatever, but
look at those.
This is a brand new pair of socks. And I got to tell you, I haven't had a brand new pair in a while.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend, Matt, and I, we share a sock drawer because I just steal his socks.
Yeah.
Right.
And he one day put his foot down and he threw all of our socks away and ordered like 20 packs of socks like this and gray, black, and this, and then ankles. And our lives have changed.
Oh, I agree.
Our lives have changed. I could never find matching pairs. They were all like single ones that I was too guilty to throw away because I thought I'd find the other.
Where do those all go?
I don't know.
We're missing
that
so
is
many.
Life's greatest.
I don't know.
Where do they
but
go?
Like I was also using really thin socks that had like a little hole that I was ignoring.
Oh.
Or like they were slightly uncomfortable.
Oh, a hole? That's a no go.
But like
for me.
Underneath, not if it's in the toe, fine. But like I was just I was making
even worse.
The toe is not good. I meant
a toe hole?
No. Toe hole goes underneath.
Okay.
If it's not
I got
like
you.
Yeah.
Yes. Tell
I could make excuses. Right. So, like, I was too afraid to let him all go.
I don't want a draft in my shoe.
But I have to tell you, our lives have changed. Like, we literally put on socks in the morning. We're like, oh, my God. No. Like, they're fluffy. They're new. It's like pampering. It's like,
yes.
It's the basic. It's worth it.
So I bought a pair of socks that are like yours. What are those, ankle socks?
These are like crew socks.
Crew socks. Hanes white crew socks have changed my life forever for the exact same reason. Like, I feel like it's a luxury to put those socks on. Like, it is life's simple pleasures that I get excited to put a sock on.
I'll tell you, we replaced our two people's entire sock collection with like $30.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We bought like five packs of 10. So $50, whatever. But like, it was that easy. And we struggled every morning to find matching pairs. Like, it was like a 10-minute addition to our thing. And life is different now. And I put on the socks and I put them on at night like they're slippers. Like, I'm so excited.
I'm telling you. Wow. Yeah, you get
it's
excited.
Life-changing. And
have
I don't
you tried on my Hanes?
I just feel like people forget. Because they're like, oh, they put on their regular socks. Like, this is what they feel like. No. They're supposed to feel good.
This, I think, socks and underwear. I'll do like a big clean out of socks and underwear maybe like once a year.
Okay, so we're going with super old socks, 5 years plus, guilty.
Guilty.
Guilty. I mean, honestly, it just makes sense.
Life's small pleasures and small luxuries.
A cozy sock.
Oh, it's the best. Can't wait to put mine on.
I guess I'll go last.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Jack and I were recently on vacation, and I noticed a man across from the pool, or across the way, across the pool from us, was laying out for what had to have been 5 hours.
Hours.
Like, the whole time that we were at the pool,
yeah,
he was just exposed to the sun.
Oh, no.
And there has been some debate on whether or not this was a tan man or a pale man.
I think he was he had to have been extremely tan.
He had to
have
maybe a base color.
I will say, he didn't look like he would tan well.
Okay.
And I just recognize that because
he didn't look red burnt.
No. I think he looked very tan.
However, I just couldn't help but think, like, I'm putting on the stand prolonged sun exposure on purpose for anybody.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about this and I'm like, I actually have a question for all of our firsties, because I'm like, I could never imagine. Like, I get so fucking hot in the sun.
Yeah.
I feel like my face is burning off. Like, it's painful. Not only am I like, I don't want to have wrinkles and like prematurely age, but like, it hurts. And then there's some of these people out there. There were multiple people at the pool
and people
that
were
just like laying like this in the sun, just sun beating on their like exposed faces. And I'm like, tell me about that.
Eating burgers and fries, like in direct
in
hot
yeah.
sun.
Hot
like
food in the hot
all these
sun.
What's
things.
So funny is that Jack has, and Jared, they have a pool at their building, and we have a couple times worked by the pool. And as soon as we get there, I like close myself in a pod that has a roof like this.
Yeah, those pods are awesome.
And we like I don't even put my foot in the sun.
No.
Like, until I'm going in the pool, mm-hmm. and then I put a hat on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I'm like avoiding the sun. But I love to be outside and I love to be in a pool.
In the shade.
Yeah, in the shade.
Now, I will say, this man, I watched him reapply sunscreen at the appropriate times. So he was at least diligent on that.
That doesn't, the sunscreen can't protect you from that.
But still,
boiling ball of stellaris
is launching nuclear radiation at you.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, as someone who's had to have a small piece of myself already cut off due to this stuff, I think it's just not
his
a good idea.
Surgery
and
when
I'm
they
concerned.
Removed the mole.
Yeah. Injury.
Yeah.
Ouchie.
I had to drive him and hold his hand.
Wait, yeah, did you like put under?
No.
Literally every time I go to the dermatologist, he burns something off.
No.
Like, casually.
Yeah.
Like, there's no schedule. Yeah. He's like, oh, I see a thing, and he burns it off.
No, they just like numb the area and then cut it out.
They cut it off, but I also got one cut off and I drove myself there and was completely fine, because all they do is put like a tiny little thing of lidocaine, but I had to hold his hand.
When I had a
they
thing,
gave me a stress
when
ball.
I had a removed, they literally had to stitch me up.
Yeah, yeah, we had to
I was wearing
stitched.
A dress.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I just, it was fine.
Okay, so everybody
yeah,
we,
everyone
this.
Does this.
Okay.
As women, we just experience pain all of the time.
Well, but I'm just saying, you could hopefully reduce the chance of that happening if you're not laying.
It's crazy. And he wasn't the only one. We were at the pool a couple days, and I'm just like, it fascinates me. I'm like, because I can't do it. I physically can't do it.
I won't.
No.
I shan't.
Nope.
I mustn't.
We had like a cabana, but it didn't have a thing. So I took a bunch of extra towels and like put them all up there.
Pretty, yeah, you made your own.
I gotta
shade.
Have shade.
Make your own cabana.
So I'm putting prolonged.
I'll say.
Yeah.
Guilty. No one wants melanoma.
It's guilty. Be safe out there.
Guilty.
SPF.
Totally.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we are diving in to some of my favorite celebrity cheating scandals.
Ooh. It's almost summer, and the best and most sustainable way to shop for a new season is on TheRealReal.com. The RealReal is the largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. It's the only place you'll find brands like Hermès, Cartier, Prada, Dior, Staud, Zimmermann, Jacquemus, and more for up to 90% off retail. 10,000 plus new arrivals land every single day from hundreds of brands you love, all authenticated by a team of in-house experts. Whether it's that perfect wedding guest look, a new summer sandal, an updated beach tote, resort wear for your summer vacation, you're bound to find exactly what you're looking for, plus deals you won't get anywhere else on TheRealReal.com. Visit TheRealReal.com and use code FIRST at checkout for 20% off. Terms apply.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Okay, welcome back to True Crime Rewind. Okay, I think you can't think about cheating scandals, of course, without Tiger Woods. That's the first one.
Sure.
But for me, one of the most important cheating scandals that I love the twist of the ending is Shania Twain.
Mm.
Do you guys know about this?
The old vaguely, switch up.
But will you remind me? Because it happened a long time ago.
Yeah, it happened a while ago. So Shania Twain was married to this guy named Mutt Lange. Jared knows him.
Personally?
No, I wish.
We talked about him. Wasn't there a restaurant called Mutt Lange's that we saw recently?
Yeah, so Mutt Lange was a legendary producer. He did like Def Leppard. I mean, he's like, you think of the sound of the 80s and like 80s rock, like Mutt Lange was a huge component.
John Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer?
I actually don't know, but it's possible.
So anyways, he met Shania Twain like in the early 90s and he was like, I want to produce your music. I want to write on your album. So they started working together and fell in love. They get married, they have a kid, and they wanted to go on this trip to Switzerland. So they hired this lady to be a nanny. Her name was Marie Anne Thibaud. I don't know. I think she was French.
Thibaud
to help them just take care of all their shit. She was like an assistant.
Right.
She was married to this guy named Frederick Thibaud or Thibaud. He was an executive at Nestle. He was Swiss. Okay, they're Swiss.
There you go.
And the four of them, she starts working for Shania Twain and Mutt Lange, and the four of them just become best friends. It's like how you and Matt are with me and Jared. They're doing everything together. They're having so much fun, yada, yada, yada. Then after a while, 14 years later, Mutt Lange goes to Shania Twain. He's like, I want a divorce. Out of nowhere. Blindsided. Didn't know what's happening.
Uh-oh.
And Shania Twain confides in her best friend that she's had for a decade and a half, Marie Anne. And she's like, hey, has like Mutt been acting weird at all? Like, I don't know why he's just asking for a divorce. And Marie Anne is like, oh no, I think everything's normal. Turns out they've been having an affair the entire time.
The entire 14 years?
Well, I don't know the entire time. They'd been having an affair for a long time.
Oh my. Okay, I just can't understand people who want to live in that kind of anxiety.
It's crazy.
Like getting caught, sneaking around. It sounds so fucking exhausting.
To your best friend.
It sounds exhausting. It sounds like guilt. You know, it sounds like an emotional fucking nightmare. Why would you do that?
Yeah. So they found out because Frederick, Marie-Anne's husband, he ended up finding all this shit. He found strange hotel receipts, phone bills, and even the set of lingerie that she had that she'd never shown.
I love that it's all analog because like now it's all like DMs and like texts. Like it's like
totally
receipts.
He's going through like actual physical phone records.
He found like a hair tie or something.
Totally.
It's like a physical thing.
So anyways, Shania confronts Marie Anne and she's like, why the fuck have you been having an affair with my husband? And she ends up changing her number and then like never talking to Shania Twain again, like a fucking coward. So then, when all this is happening, Shania Twain ends up confiding into this Frederick guy because they just went through the same exact thing. They're like trauma bonded and they end up falling in love.
I love that, like, retribution, A.
Yeah. Yes.
And B, the sincere happy ending. Because I don't think they were trying to get them back. They were just trying not to hemorrhage their fucking feelings and be in the pain they were in.
And, like, that seems like a true way to fall in love. Like,
and also a good match. Like, we're not the kind of people who do that. We're the people who wouldn't do that.
Yeah, they both just got so fucked. But anyway, so I think that Mutt Lange and that other girl, they ended up staying together for a while. I don't know if they're still together. I'm pretty sure that Shania Twain's still with this guy. They got married in 2011, but I mean, It's fucking crazy.
That is
crazy.
Wild.
I mean, switch up.
It kind of sucks because your origin story is a crazy and unique one, but it also sucks because it's not like a romantic one necessarily, because it is through like heartbreak and whatnot and cheating.
There's definitely a silver lining there.
Yeah, for sure.
Where it's like the one door closes and another opens.
Yeah.
Like, that's that line people say for a reason.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the choice of what we talk about next.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about Tom and Ariana, Raquel, Vanderpump Vibes, or do you want to talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Raquel and Ariana and Tom Scandoval.
Okay.
I'll talk about that all day.
Okay, we've talked about it on the podcast before. We don't need like a whole summary, but what are your thoughts
on where things are now?
About where things are now.
So first of all, since the last time we talked about it, the reunion has been shot.
The reunion's been shot.
We saw the revenge looks. Ariana looks fucking amazing.
Oh my God, she looks so fucking hot. Love it.
The hottest one there. And, you know, I heard Lala and Sheena talking about how good she looked. And Ariana has lost weight. I mean, but people do when they're depressed. And Lala was talking about how when she found out all the shit about her fiance, who's like a nightmare monster.
Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, that she lost weight. And Ariana's like, now I get it. Like, people get skinny, not because they're trying to have revenge bodies, but because they're heartbroken.
No, they're traumatized.
They can't eat. Like, food is not great. It's not great. And I've been there too, where I got like emaciated when I was in this like situational depression. And it made me feel good because I felt like they were trying to make that clear. Like, it's not what anyone's trying to do. It's a physical response to this devastation and betrayal.
Right.
And I'm super excited for the whenever that reunion airs, because I just can't imagine being Raquel and showing up. Another interesting thing is they said that she didn't cry a single tear, that she smiled the whole time.
This is something interesting that we've been talking about, because we've obviously been so into the whole Vanderpump drama, and Alexis and I have been kind of talking about it in like a psychological perspective, because from what I've heard with a lot of the interviews from like Lala has been doing a lot of interviews, Sheena has been doing a lot of interviews, and Katie, it just seems like she might be a little bit of a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like, she seems to have no empathy. She has no care for any of the things that she has done. Like, they always, like, portrayed her as this really stupid girl that, like, couldn't think for herself. And she, like, really dove into that narrative.
Yeah.
But it turns out that she's, like, this fucking horrible, horrible mastermind.
Yeah.
Of the whole thing. But anyways, Alexis and I, if anybody from Vanderpump listens to her podcast, we want to have you on as a guest to talk about things from like a psychological perspective.
We do. We want to talk about how, you know, we talk about how sociopaths, you see them in white collar crime. A sociopath may never stab you with a knife.
Or like kill you.
But they'll clear out your life savings without guilt. A Raquel type sociopath will steal your fucking man with a smile on your face.
Yeah,
like, they're out there. They're not always physically dangerous, but they're dangerous because, I mean, she blew up Ariana's life. The home she felt safe in is no longer. Like, I do think these people are dangerous, whether they are physically capable of harm or not.
Yeah.
We would love to dive more into that from the psychological perspective and talk about the escalation, because Raquel, too, was doing little shit, like stealing the man from Lala when they were on the Vegas trip.
Yeah.
And it just got worse and worse. And it's like, was she feeling so bad about herself that she was just trying to fill a hole, no pun intended, with literally like anyone, like she wanted so badly to be these women that she would rather take from them and like become them.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, is she doing this because she's insecure and she just wants to win a competition because she just hates herself so much? Or is she doing it because there's this evilness and this disregard for other people's feelings? Like, those are completely different.
Or is she doing it because Tom Sandoval is that good at manipulating her and coercing her into this false sense of safety?
But she's doing this. She was doing the same thing to Schwartz too. Like, she didn't give a fuck about Katie.
It's just
wild. Katie was crying to her in her face, and she didn't care.
It's wild that all this shit was happening. Because when you're watching the season up until pretty much where it's at right now, as of recording this, this is not a narrative at all. So all the shit that's happening behind closed doors.
Yeah.
While all these other like faux drama scenarios are unfolding.
No, like the best story was happening in the entire time behind the scenes.
That's what's so crazy about it, is it's kind of like a real-time look into like what it looks like when people are deceitful.
Yeah.
And like, because you're watching them on camera do all of these other things that are so unrelated to like the darkest, craziest storyline. And there's, you know what I mean? It's like, it takes a certain kind of energy and effort and person to be able to be that wrapped up in something.
To be calculated.
Yeah.
You gotta be super calculated. Be like,
ooh, we just had sex in the hotel room at Sheena's wedding and we pretended I was taking a nap and your flight got in late.
So nuts.
Well, we share a room with Ariana. Like, the whole thing is dark.
It's dark.
In malicious. In scary. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, I don't wish that on me or anyone I know. Like, I hope no one ever experiences that level of betrayal, because I don't know if I could recover from it.
Have you ever watched the show Cheaters?
I don't think it's real.
Oh,
yes,
staged?
I have.
It would be awesome if that host like walked out for the finale or something.
It would be.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I was going to say, like, I think the scariest part of it all is her kind of leaning into that stupid girl kind of a persona, because it's like she knew, like, she could be even more manipulative when she sort of just was like, yeah, this is like, I'm in a little airhead.
Like, well, she's like, Sheena tricked me into wanting to kiss Tom Schwartz. It's not my fault. Like,
it's like, you're a fucking adult, girl.
Yeah, she sucks.
It's crazy. Anyways.
Own it.
That's the biggest cheating story of our time right now.
Sure is.
Except to me in
a franchise I had no interest in ever watching. I'll say that.
The last one I want to talk about is because it has a Vanderpump tie-in. And it's the Leanne Rimes, Eddie Cibrian, Brandy Glanville, Serena, Shay fucking mess. Mm. So basically the reason why Vanderpump Rules is Vanderpump Rules is because, okay, Leanne Rimes was married to Eddie Cibrian. No. Leanne Rimes was married to this other guy. She did a movie with Eddie Cibrian on Lifetime, and they ended up having an affair with each other.
Eddie Cibrian was married to Brandy Glanville.
Brandy Glanville. So this whole thing fucking happened. But while he was having an affair with Leanne Rimes, he was also sleeping with Sheena Shea.
Mm.
And when Brandy Glanville found all of this out, they filmed this scene for, I think it was Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, where Sheena and Brandy met up and like talked about the whole affair.
And that's how Vanderpump kind of happened.
And that's kind of what the start of Vanderpump was, because Sheena was just working at Sir. She was just a hostess that was working at Sir that was hooking up with this
guy
that Brandy was married to and Leanne Rimes. Right. But that's like the ultimate like web shit,
goodness,
Vanderpump shit. That
it's a mess. And it, honestly, from a man's perspective, like, that's just, to me, sounds so exhausting.
It's all exhausting
because you're trying to keep all of these plates spinning, and it's like, you, at some point, no matter what, some point, something's gonna break.
Absolutely.
Like, and there's just no way around that.
Just would never encourage a friend to engage in something like that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that it shows your character very much so. Ooh. Like, 100%. None of our friends would ever do that. Because,
yeah,
we all know.
Not great.
You never know, though, because shit's happening behind the scenes on this show that you guys are watching. And it's like, you would have, if unless you knew in real time that went down, you would have no idea.
That's true.
So that's the scary part.
The more you know, the more you don't know.
Ooh. That's right. That's just life for you.
That's true. Right.
All right. Well, these people did some bad things. And we're going to hear about the bad things that you people did next.
Yes.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hey, Alexis, Jack, and Cheer. I hope you all are having a fantastic day, because I just adore you all. So here is the worst thing I've ever done. I don't know if it's really the worst thing, but definitely tops the petty list for sure. So it's back 2006, was newly 21, also newly unengaged, which I know to be like that young and engaged is stupid, and thank God it was a broken engagement. But nonetheless, in that moment, I was very, very distraught and upset. So that man had gotten me a cell phone on his cell phone plan. When we broke up, obviously I wasn't using that phone anymore, and I had like the one that was still on my parents' phone plan, because again, I was newly 21. So anyways, back then, you know, we had our little SIM card that you could take out and put into any working phone. So I had a party at my house, and after doing quite a bit of drinking, decided it would be a fantastic idea to share the SIM card with all of my friends that were at the party. So we spent about $400 in ringtones that night that I made him pay. Because if you're going to break up with me, like, and keep the phone line, that's your own fault, you're stupid. So, yeah, definitely very petty. I'm sure I probably bought, like, a whole bunch of ridiculous ringtones that I set for every single person back then, and now my phone is, like, chronically on silent. I couldn't even tell you what my ringtone sounds like, but, yeah. So that's probably the worst thing I've ever done. I love you. Have a great day. Bye.
I had like definitely the Madonna, like every little thing that you see or do. I had that ringtone on my pink flip razor for a long time.
You put a little bit of gas in her G-Wagon.
That's right.
Wow, that's so nice.
Kind of cool.
Well, so this girl, I hope, I don't know if she was spreading the love for different ringtones, if she was just buying 400 ringtones of the same artist, but...
She bought them for all her friends. I see, and what I was thinking is that like your boyfriend slash fiance proposed to you when you were 20 and then unproposed to you.
Yeah.
I think he got off fucking easy.
Oh my God. I would do so much worse. Like 400
bucks in ringtones is nothing. I would have thrown his clothes outside and lit them on fire. I know that's not mature, but the heart, when it's burned, it loses all reason.
I mean, we say this all the time. This is a victimless crime. Nobody was hurt. He deserved probably more than what came to him. So I don't know. I agree with you.
If this wasn't on the stand, I'd say not guilty.
Not guilty.
You are not guilty.
You're not guilty. No, I feel like, I mean, it's just a funny prank in general. I mean,
it's a pretty good prank.
It's
and
people get something out of it. You get a new ringtone.
To be honest, a lot of people don't notice when it's like, oh, my cell phone. I mean, $400 is a lot.
Well, yeah. you won't get it until like way later in the month, that's so you
true.
Won't even know.
That's
like,
true.
I bought Soulja Boy's song 400
I
times.
I bought Crank That for 500 people.
It's honestly a good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
By the time they find out, they won't even know what happened.
And it's like it's your fault for keeping her on the plan if you're gonna break up with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why'd you break up with her if you loved her so much to put her on this plan?
Sorry.
Sir, you made a mistake.
If you just would have stuck with her and bought her some ringtones.
You could have had $400 more.
This would never happen.
You did nothing wrong.
All right. Well, we're running out of time. Do you have a stanza?
No, because I feel like George Costanza would know where I was going to go with this, which is... It would have been the Houston We Have a Problem inspiration. Mm. His head is bald and round like the moon. Yes. That's sort of where I was going. And I thought it was hurtful to the George. And I thought the essence of George should be preserved.
You weren't struck with the lightning bolt of creativity this time.
I know what to do. Everybody close their eyes and everybody envision the moon and think about George's face in the moon.
It's honestly perfect.
And we live with that.
Everyone listening, I hope you did that because it felt soothing.
It was nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Cue that Seinfeld bass line.
Woohoo.
Love you guys.
Bye.